I'd like to go to my message to you this morning. My scripture reading is in Genesis. Let's go all the way back to the first book in the Bible. Genesis 45 and verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years. And there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt." And let's turn on over to chapter 50 and start with verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgressions of your brothers and their kin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came down and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these words. Heavenly Father, we can so much relate to Joseph and the love that he had for his brothers, even though he was wrongly treated by his brothers. Heavenly Father, we know that this shows the forgiving spirit that you put within us, regardless of the circumstances. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless the thoughts that we express and the words that we read. Help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. And my text to you is in Genesis 50 and verse 20. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive." That's a wonderful passage, wonderful part of God's Word, in which we read about the story of Jacob and having his 12 sons, one in whom was Joseph. It might be reminded of you that Joseph was his favorite son. But he had 12. And of course, there was a time in which there was a great famine in the land. Trouble came. Has trouble come to you this morning? Within your lifetime, is there trouble present now? In your life, maybe within your family, maybe within your job situation, finances. There's so many various areas that trouble can arise. This is the story of Joseph. And it's a story of how one man dealt with problems that came his way. Did these problems change him? Did he become a different person because of these problems? Or did he basically remain the same? Did he have a good foundation on which to stand with the help of God against the problems in life that came his way? How many this morning have any kind of trouble or any kind of adversity going on in your life right at the moment? How many have any kind of adversity in your life at the moment? Almost every one of us. That tells us something right there. That trouble comes to all, doesn't it? Many great men and women in God's Word shows us how to face adversity or trouble. How to face adversity in life. And that's my message to you this morning, is facing adversity. One thing about trouble, one thing about adversity, it comes to all. Doesn't leave anybody out. Oh, but I live really close to God. I read my Bible every day and I pray every day. That's great. But that's not going to exempt you from adversity. And that's not going to withhold trouble from you simply because you're a real good person. Perhaps a good or great Christian. And trouble will certainly come to those that are not. It comes to all. No one is shielded or protected from life's adversities. And we can say that not even if you are held in high esteem by God Himself or by man, will it keep adversity from coming your way. But what about when it comes? What do you do? We have to face it, doesn't it? Ultimately, we have to face adversity. God's Word is so helpful in every aspect of our life. No matter what the situation, no matter what the problem, no matter how it arises, no matter how great, how small, how insignificant, God's Word has answers to every situation and problem that we face. And we don't have to face it alone, because the Word assures us if we are God's children and we hold on to Him, He is going to go through it with us. We don't do it alone. And we shouldn't try to fight our battles alone. I've stated that so many times. I guess maybe even I get tired of saying it. But not really. God is always there. I count on Him being there. And you should too. In God's Word, we find that everywhere, start to finish, the greatest to the least faced adversities and problems. And we can find within God's Word how it was dealt with and what kind of people they were, whether or not persons change by certain things happening within their life. And some men and women did. But the greater ones held true to God and held on to Him because they knew where their help lieth. King David knew it. The Psalms is full of it. How he takes refuge in God. How God is a very present help. Immediate help in the time of trouble. Consider the man Job. Job was considered by God a perfect man. I think you would say he was held in high esteem. But did that shield him? God did put a barrier around him, didn't He? That lets us know God can put a barrier against Satan and his demons that help him. And any men or women or authority or power on this earth, that shield can be there if God wills it to be. And the story of Job lets us know that God did place a barrier, a hedge around Job and his family and his life. But you know, there came that situation in which that hedge of protection was removed from by God. He put it there. He can remove it for whatever His purposes are and for whatever His reasons are. And we don't know each and every detail, reason, and purpose that things may be done. Sometimes God only knows. But the hedge about Job was removed. And adversities did flood in. And how did Job react? I think he stayed true to God, regardless of his friends that had all kind of advice for him about why things were going wrong. And they wasn't going wrong before a certain point in time. And all of a sudden, things started going wrong. So naturally, Job, within himself, wonders why. Why is this happening to me? And no doubt he told himself he didn't deserve it. But it came. And we find that Job remained true to God. He held fast to his foundational principles of living that God had given him and that he had come to be aware of and hold on to. What about Daniel? He was in a foreign land where he didn't want to be. But he rose above difficult situations because God was with him. God was blessing him. And he was maintaining his faith in God. He wasn't turning his back on God. He wasn't going in the opposite direction just because he had been mistreated and in a place where he didn't want to be. He wasn't home. He wasn't with his normal surroundings. Unpleasant situation, but he held on to God. And when he was put in that lion's den, the power of God was shown. The blessings of God was shown. The lions could not open their mouth. Otherwise, Daniel would have been gone within a couple of hours. Adversity came to Daniel, placed in a difficult situation, but he held on. What about Elijah? God rained down fire from heaven as Elijah called on his God as the one true God to respond against those pagan gods that was prevalent in that particular point in time of King Ahab and Jezebel. But Elijah called on his one true God. Then Elijah had a little bit of a slide, didn't he? He sort of lost some faith when Jezebel, after God had answered Elijah's prayer and Elijah took the 400 prophets or whatever it was of Baal down and slew them, killed them all. Jezebel heard about it, and that was her prophets and her God that Elijah was fooling with, or at least she considered it her God. It was a pagan God. Not a real God, not the true God. The prophets of Baal could not do anything. Their God did not respond. Elijah's did. But even after God rained down fire from heaven, Elijah had a little bit of a slide back. His faith faltered a little bit. Isn't that something about the Bible? That the Bible doesn't hold back, even on the very best of people within it. They had times of failure. They have times of fault. They have had times when they slipped somewhat, lost their faith a little bit. But you know, they was God's children. They were God's men and women. And ultimately, they came back to God. Ultimately, they regained their senses. And Elijah was like that. He ran for his life when Jezebel threatened his life. Jezebel said to Elijah, I'm going to make you as one of these prophets that you just killed by this time tomorrow. And of course that terrified, within a natural realm, that terrified Elijah from a natural human point. He lost his faith a little bit when the queen said that to him, I'm going to take your life by this time tomorrow because of what you just did to these prophets of Baal. So Elijah fled, didn't he? Instead of just calling on God again to take care of the situation, he lost his faith a little bit and fled for his life. But then God spoke to him again. And he came to his senses. How many of us have lost our grasp on the reality that God can provide for whatever situation it is that we are in? Whatever adversity it is that we're facing, God is the answer. There is no other answer. Turn it over to God. Come back, perhaps, to God if you have strayed away. If you have lost your senses, forgot your God, forgot where your help really lies. The one person, the living God, that can answer any question, provide help on any problem. Let's come to our senses. What about Moses? He faced adversity, didn't he? All through trying to deliver the children of God from Egypt, through the wilderness, trying to go back to the promised land. All kind of adversities, murmuring, complaining, constantly. People going back on God. Almost going back to idolatry, in which they obviously was very prevalent in Egypt, in which they had been 430 years. Long time to be exposed to wrong practices, wrong ideas, wrong gods. The man Joseph that we read about this morning. What do you think about his life? Born into obviously a wealthy family. The favorite son of his father. His father made him a beautiful multicolored coat. And of course his brothers were jealous. Naturally. Joseph had a vision that God gave him about what was to happen in the future. It included some insinuations that wasn't so pleasant for his brothers to hear. Like they were going to someday bow down to their little brother, Joseph. If you were an older brother by perhaps 10 or 15 years old, and some little 15, 16, 17 year old boy told you one day you're going to be bowing down before me, what do you think you would think? You would have a tendency not to take it too well, wouldn't you? God gave Joseph the dream. When God gives something to you, you can count on it. God speaks to men and women throughout all of His Word. And whatever He gives to them comes to pass. Joseph faced adversity. His brothers come to hate him because of many various reasons, including those that I just expressed. Came to a point one day where he went to check on them, and as he got there to see about their welfare, their father wanted to know how they were doing. They were way out in, you know, several miles away, perhaps a few cities away, tending their flocks. They sent Joseph to check on them, see how they were. And when he arrived, they had already had a plan for what they were going to do to him. Put him in a pit. Evidently, it must have collected water at some point in time, but it was empty at that time. They put him in the pit, threw him in the pit. Some of them intended to actually take his life, but the others prevailed against that. Strangers come along that were going to Egypt. They said, let's make a little more gain out of this. We don't have to kill him. You know, we can make some money and get some extra money here. So they took him out of the pit, sold him. He was in a pit. Went from being a favored son to being in a pit, taken out of the pit, sold as a slave. Took out of the country, away from his home, into a foreign land, sold as a slave, rose above that to become head of the household, in charge of everything in the household, next to his master. His master's wife liked the way he looked. Wanted to have an affair with him. Temptation come to Joseph. Did Joseph yield? No. Was he all the better for standing up for what was right there? No. Because the wife accused him falsely of making advances toward her. Went from being the head of the household next to his master to being in prison. Had a few dreams and so forth. Interpreted them. ultimately came out of prison then, almost straight from being in the pit of prison to second in command in all of the land. Did Joseph rise above adversity? Joseph faced many adversities, but he maintained his faith in God. The principles that he grew up with, he maintained them. What he was told by his father, Jacob. How he was raised by his father and grandparents. Those principles were instilled in him by the ones in charge of him, by the ones who brought him naturally into this world. They raised him right. He maintained that faith and those principles to guide his life. When we raise our children right, and whenever we do start raising them the way God wants them raised and instilling those principles within them, things are going to change. God, we're reacting to the way God wants our children to be brought up. The things to be put within their hearts and minds. Bring up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is older, he will not depart. He may drift here and there, just like some of us fail here and there. But ultimately, he will be brought back. He will come to his senses, ultimately. And God will bring him back into the family. What about Jesus? You think Jesus faced any adversities? He was constantly harassed by the leaders of the religious part of the society at that time. Constantly harassed. Constantly people trying to catch you in your words, trying to twist your words, trying to use deceit and just out and out lies against you. Has that ever happened to you? It has to some, I guarantee you. Jesus faced adversities. He faced the devil himself. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And speaking the word of God to the devil in response to the devil's offer to him. Would that be good for us to try to remember in response to our adversities? Speak the word of God. What does the promises of God say in regard to whatever the question is, whatever the problem is? What did other people within God's word do? What did they say? What did Jesus do or say to the devil when he came against him? We can say and do those same things. It was for them at their point in time. It can be for us. There's no difference. Good is good. Right is right. God accepts then. He will accept now. Facing adversities. What about the woman Esther? We know Queen Esther. She was not brought up in a family that would have been in line like a lot of the kings and queens would have been born into that and by ancestry. She was in a foreign country. Not of her will. Is there similarities between that and something else? Joseph was. He was taken to a foreign country against his will. He rose above that with God's help. Esther was a Jewish girl. held in captivity in a foreign land. But with God's help, adversities came to her, but she rose above. Esther had a cousin named Mordecai. Mordecai the Jew is what is said in the Bible. And of course, Esther was a Jew. The king didn't really know about it when he chose her to be queen. But the circumstances are similar and have some parallels when thinking about Joseph as compared to Mordecai, the Jew, and his cousin Esther. A plot was against Esther and Mordecai. A plot sort of sounds like the 1940s, when Hitler was here and wanted to exterminate the Jews. Kill all of the Jews, wipe them out. That was a plot there at Esther's time. Esther and Mordecai. That was part of their adversity that they faced. It was a man of a fairly high ranking man of that particular land wanted to take out all the Jews because he didn't like the way they reacted to him. So, wasn't giving him enough honor that he thought he deserved. So he decided that he would make a plot to wipe him out. Adversity came to the Jewish people at that particular time and place. But God was with him. With God, things are going to go your way. Ultimately. In facing adversities, we need to know to stay in God's will. Stay true to His commands. Stay true to the principles of life that God gives us and that hopefully our moms and dads and grandparents and grandmothers, grandparents both, will instill within us. If you've drifted from these, go back to them. Facing adversities, stay in God's will. Number two, do not let life's adversities distract or detour you off the path. It didn't Joseph. Most of the other great men in God, the Bible, it didn't them. Don't let life's adversities distract or detour. Find God's will or His way and then follow. And then keep following. And then don't turn back. Keep following. Number four, do not yield to the trials that come your way. Don't yield to anger. Don't yield to revenge. Don't yield to feelings of resentment. Did Joseph's brothers resent him? And they took it further. They did something about it, didn't they? They carried it from just resentment. But they did resent him. Don't give in to resentment, even though you may have reason. Don't give in to resignation. I'm just going to give up. What's the use? I can't fight it. Can't fight downtown, city hall, whatever. Give up, give in, quit. Resignation. Don't give in to resignation. Don't give in to violence. Don't give in to to discouragement. Don't give in to betrayal. How many has been felt like that you've been betrayed at some point in your life? Fair amount. By people that you thought were your friends, co-workers, whatever. Yeah, a lot of us has been betrayed. A lot of us have been deceived. Sometimes spitefully. Betrayals exist, but don't give in to that. Don't give in to temptation. Joseph didn't. King David did. But don't you give in to temptations. Number five, know your faith. Know your beliefs. Maybe David can help get some scriptures here that you can look at it, and I'll be closing pretty quickly. 1 John 5, starting at verse 1. Know your faith. Victory against your adversities can be held here. 1 John 4, 1 John 5, 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Is this important for us to remember in facing adversities? Well, certainly it is, because this is important to God. This is the love of God that we keep. If you love God, you'll keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And listen to this. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. It's important to know your faith. It's important to keep and to grow your faith. We get faith, but it's important to grow it too. Let's go to Romans 10 and 17. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're doing that this morning. We're reading God's Word. We're hearing God's Word. And faith should be coming by. And every time you sit down to read God's Word, and you search out truths, and you search out answers for problems, questions, every time, you will get more faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the last point in facing adversities. Know that God prevails. Know that there's no better place for you to be and to put your confidence and trust in than in God. He'll always be there for you. He cares about you. Doesn't matter how big or small your problems are. He's there for you. He'll help you. He'll go through the situation with you. Things is always better with God. God prevails and has prevailed in the past. And we've read of some of those. He prevailing right now. In the present, his word assures us of that, and he will prevail in the future, regardless of situations that we perceive at the present time. The future will be as God determines. God has not failed. God will not fail. God will prevail. That's why we should go to Him with our problems. And when adversities come, we need to love Him. We need to honor and respect Him. If you don't have love and respect for God, something is wrong, big time. You need to have that honor and respect for God and for His house of worship. Not just the building. Not just furniture. Not just any instruments, worship tools. It's all part of honoring and respecting God. All part of the place in which He chooses to place His name. And if you want to look that up in your Bible, it will instruct you some about whether that's important or not. The place in which God chooses to place His name. Trust God always above any and everybody, in any and every situation. Trust God. Put it in His hand. Let's go to Esther 4 and verse 13. A little bit of an intriguing thing here. Esther 4 and 13. Now, I told you about Mordecai and Esther were cousins, and the plot against the Jews, including them, to kill them all, rid the land of them. And Esther came to be in favor with the king and was promoted to a queen of the land. Could we call that a type of second highest in the land as being queen? Joseph was second in the land. Did you know something else? Mordecai, Esther's cousin, all in a foreign land, away from home, rising above adversities, and each one of them rising to a point of second highest in the land, including Mordecai. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews." Mordecai, the cousin, is telling Esther, "I know you're Queen Esther, and you're in favor with the king. But when this decree goes out to kill all of the Jews, don't think that you're going to be exempted from it, because your life will be taken too. They'll find out that you are a Jew. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time," he's saying, you know, if you don't take up for us, if you don't do something to try to help this situation, then shalt their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Isn't that wonderful? Mordecai is telling Esther, listen, if you don't arise to this situation and you just sit there and do nothing and let this happen, God's going to use somebody else. The will of God is going to be done in this, regardless of what your situation is. If you don't react to this, God will get somebody else. And He'll do that now. "From another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" What does that remind you of? God had a plan for Joseph. He put him in a land ahead of the time because the famine was coming. And God, through His providential care for His children, placed Joseph in a land ultimately,
to be a provider for his people in a time of famine. And this is what that is saying here. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Implying that Esther was where she was at the particular point in time for God's purpose. Last verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Is it important for us to be God's children? No matter what adversities come to us, how they come, how big they are, how small they are, it's all within God's power. God's plan will ultimately prevail. All things work together for good to them that love God. And I'm saying to you, love God. If you don't, go back to Him. Find out how to love Him. Open your heart up to Him. And then stay there. Stand with me.